Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. This is another episode of Everyday with Jesus podcast, where our lives have been enriched by the preaching of the word of God. I welcome you again to the series, Every Bible Truths Concerning the Local Church. Hallelujah. So, Bible Truths Concerning the Local Church, and today is the final day in this long series. Hallelujah. This episode, this is part 34. Of course, short series, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and it's been a blessing. Praise God. It's been a blessing. I want to plead with you to have an open mind to God's word. It pays to have an open mind to the word of God. God's word will not change a man that keeps resisting the truth. Amen. The failure in the problem of the Jews, the challenges of the Jews in those days, in the days of Christ, days of the apostles, even till now, many of the Jews that are out of faith, many of the Jews that are not in the faith or not in Christ, had a problem of resisting the Holy Ghost. Amen. They heard the truth and they resisted it. So God's word is not going to bless a man that keeps resisting the truth. If what I presented to you in this series is God's truth, God's mind, is the truth of the scriptures, the truth of the word of God, then I plead with you to receive it with open mind, with an open mind, with an open heart. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the truth is not convenient. But the moment you receive it and you say, see, I receive it, I submit to the wisdom of God, from that day, it will start being convenient. Hallelujah. There are many of the things, there are many things I say that people struggle with, that are not a struggle for me because I chose to accept them many years back. Amen. So for instance, when I say Jesus didn't die for money, it doesn't upset me. When I hear a man say it, it doesn't upset me. I don't start, tweaking my body. No, it's truth and it's convenient for me. Hallelujah. Because I chose to submit to it. I chose to receive it. Glory to God. All right. So let's conclude this series on this note. I want to address two things. You know, we've been emphasizing the need for being in a sound and healthy local church. And by being sound, I mean a church that glorifies Jesus, a church that promotes the doctrine of Christ, a church that is emphatic on the work of Christ, what Christ has done for you and I, a church that is emphatic on the realities of our faith, and emphatic on ministry. And in the last 2-3 episodes, I began to show us or debunk the idea that ministry is your career. I began to show us from scriptures out that the Bible does not in any way hold such views. The Bible does not support such views. It's unbiblical, it's unscriptural, it's not of God. Your earthly career is not your ministry. Hallelujah. The ministry is the work of Christ. It's about doing the work of Jesus. It's about doing the same things that Jesus did. John chapter 14 and verse 12, he who believes in me, the very works that I do, shall he do also. The very works. That's not anything pertaining to this life or pertaining to this earth or pertaining to this world. It's about that which is found in Christ. Amen. That which is found in Christ. That's why the signs that will follow them that believe are the very things that Jesus did. Casting out demons, healing the sick, laying hands on the sick, they'll recover. You know, you take any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. And then, you know, raising the dead. So, it's about the things pertaining to Christ. Hallelujah. The things pertaining to Christ. And I don't think this generation should excuse these things away and begin to preach that your career is your ministry because we haven't gotten as much results as Jesus and his apostles. The way to get those results is to press on more. I mean, we need to see more sick people healed. Hallelujah. You know, we are not meant to rest or begin to explain those things away until we begin to get those results like Jesus and the apostles. We need to get more people healed. Hallelujah. We need to see more people come back to life. We need to see those things happen transparently. I mean, I'm talking about some state-managed miracles. We need to see more and more of the work of Christ being done on the face of the earth. More souls being saved. A harvest of souls. Hallelujah. And you see, the miraculous is going to be commonplace the more the knowledge of Christ is embraced. Because the environment for the miraculous, the environment in which the miraculous thrives, is the environment of the gospel. So the more men embrace the gospel of Christ and the good news of Christ, the more they will see signs and wonders, you know, as things that accompany the message they are receiving. Glory to God. So we should not explain those things away. Now, in this particular teaching, I want to show you how that there is something that sounds like the gospel that is not the gospel, which is the reason why a lot of people settle down in churches where there is no emphasis on ministry, but they are talking new creation realities. Amen. I mean, the man does not talk about a need for every believer to preach and to disciple men, a need for us to get our hands soiled and dirty in the work of ministry, getting out there and taking on the reproach of Christ. The man does not have an emphasis on doing the work of ministry, but he talks about the gift of righteousness. So you are deceived and swayed because he makes reference to the gift of righteousness by faith. And you're like, wow, this man is a word man. Hallelujah. He doesn't talk about a need for every believer to be committed as an effective minister of the gospel, but he talks about the fact that every believer has the Spirit of God. In fact, he's contending for that truth. Amen. He even gives examples of, you know, times when he believed, the Spirit was given to some special people. But now I know from the Word of God that the Spirit is given to every Christian. And you're like, wow, preach it. Hallelujah. Word. But then, it is just a bait. Praise God. Now listen carefully. It is just a bait. It is not sound doctrine until it is connected with the right things. Hallelujah. It is not just about mentioning new Christian realities. It's about mentioning new Christian realities in the light of the things that the Bible links them to or links them with. Hallelujah. Anybody can talk about the gift of righteousness, but what is he connecting the gift of righteousness to? What are the things you can do because you are righteous in Christ? Every preacher can talk about the fact that you have the Holy Ghost, but what is he connecting your having the Spirit with? It is not awesome, healthy, and sound doctrine until his connections, hallelujah, or the things he associates with the realities you have in Christ Jesus are the things the Bible also associates with them. Hallelujah. And that's where, you know, the problem is for many. The discernment of many has been blurred, has been destroyed, because the moment a man says, we have the gift of righteousness, every man is righteous in Christ. Every man can stand before God boldly and without inferiority complex. I mean, you just shut up your brain and you cannot process anything further. Hallelujah. You just agree or term or tag the man as a word man because he's saying something that looks like the word. Amen. So let's go through scriptures and see how does the Bible preach new Christian realities, because that's how to preach new Christian realities. Amen. And I'm going to take the Spirit of God as a case study, as an example. What are the things associated with having the Spirit? Because you have the Spirit, what are the things you can do? Glory to God. This is very important. Let's start with the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, someone said something to me in my inbox. And he said, I've been following you since 4 years ago. And I've seen you've been so consistent. The very things you said then are the things you're saying now. You've not changed. Hallelujah. I think that's a good report. Especially when it's about the truth of Christ. You are not just being consistent in false teaching. You are consistent with the gospel. I know the person said, I've seen many people, you know, changing their position because of the love of money. I said, wow, you eat it right on the nail. You know, I said that in my mind. You eat it right on the nail. You eat the nail right on the head. Amen. Because of the love of money. And you're going to see it clearly from the scriptures today. You see it clearly from the scriptures today. Hallelujah. What are the things associated with the Spirit of God? Luke chapter 4 and verse 14 to 18. Look at the ministry of Jesus. Because I have the Spirit of God, what are the things I can do? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went all through the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to do what? To go and teach. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he says, because he has anointed me. What was Jesus anointed to do? Why was the Spirit of God upon Jesus? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. The word poor here is not about poverty, material poverty. No. He's talking about spiritual poverty. Because it can't be about those who are materially poor. What about those who are rich? Is it that the gospel is just for those who are materially poor? The poverty here is a common poverty amongst men. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, for being bankrupt, for having missed or lost out on the glory of God, you are considered poor in the sight of God. No matter what you own on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. If the richest man on the face of the earth today is not in Christ, if he is not born of God, he is poor in the sight of God. Money is not relevant to God. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. Money is not relevant to God. Money is relevant to men. Amen. Now, because money is not relevant, when I say money is not relevant to God, I'm not saying we can't give to the work of ministry. I'm saying God does not need money. God does not spend money. Hallelujah. So the riches of God is not in monetary terms. When we say God is rich, you look through scriptures, he says the riches of his glory is rich in mercy, is rich to all who call upon him. He talks about salvation. The riches of God is not in monetary terms. It doesn't save money in banks. Now, because money is irrelevant to God, God cannot consider you to be a rich person because you have billions of dollars. Do you understand this? Those who can consider you rich are your fellow men who deal in money and cash. Praise God. But God, who does not spend money, who does not relate to money, he doesn't do buying and selling, he cannot consider anybody to be rich based on money. So in the sight of God, a man is rich because he has the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. He has God's kind of wealth. Woo, hallelujah. He has God's kind of wealth. Is rich in Christ. Hallelujah. He has the fullness of his spirit. So he has anointed me to preach to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of God, the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you seen that? So what is associated with having the Spirit of God? To preach the gospel. Luke 24, verse 49. Look at what Jesus said to his apostles. Hallelujah. Luke 24, 49. It says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. This power is from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, what was the power meant for? Or what is the power meant for? Look at the context. Amen. The context from verse 46. It says, "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Hallelujah. So the power is to make them witnesses of these things, is for the preaching of the gospel. The same way Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost for preaching the gospel is the same way the disciples and the apostles and every believer by extension is also anointed to preach the gospel. The power is for preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. That's the same thing documented at Acts of Apostles chapter 1 and verse 8. The same thing. "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." Have you seen? It's the same. You shall receive power to become witnesses. Glory to God. So the Spirit came to enable us to be witnesses. So, but you find this emphasis in certain quarters. concerning the Spirit that makes you begin to wonder, is there a different Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Where every time they make a mention of the Spirit, it's about this life. You have the Spirit of God. You cannot fail in again. You cannot fail in life because you have the Spirit of God. Is that what the Bible connects or associates the Spirit of God with? Hallelujah. It sounds so good. And listen, the reason why a lot of people fall for this is because it appeals to human desires. I mean, everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to succeed. People want to be wealthy. People want to be rich. People want to be famous. So when you link those things to your realities in Christ, it's an easy selling point. People would embrace it on time because it appeals to them. The man that does not like, you know, listening to scriptures on prayer will listen to that one. The man that does not enjoy scriptures on an emphasis on fervency, serving Jesus, laying down your life, going all out, you know, doing the will of the Father, would easily tune into a preacher that talks about how you can use the Holy Ghost to make it in this life. Because it appeals to his lust, his greed, and covetousness, and love of money. Hallelujah. So the love of money is a major driving force, both for the preacher and the recipient. Amen. The moment you are not cured of the love of money, you would advance a gospel that is about this life. The moment you are not cured of a love of money, you'd also be a victim or an easy prey of a gospel that is all about this life. Praise God. Because you have the Spirit of God, you dominate the earth. You dominate. You're on top of all. You're on top of your class. You're on top of your peers and your colleagues. That's not how the Bible preaches about the Holy Ghost. The things associated with the Holy Ghost are the things that Jesus associates the Spirit with. Doing the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Being born again. And having an empowerment to serve God in the gospel of his Son. Glory to God. So that's why there's an emphasis in the book of Acts about the Spirit being associated with service to Christ, the new birth, spiritual accomplishments. Amen. You don't find an emphasis on this life. How that you now have the Holy Ghost as an advantage to succeed, as an advantage to outdo your peers or your colleagues. It doesn't make sense. Now, listen. How many of the pastors preaching this have actually, you know, made more money than some unbelievers in the world? How many of them? The richest pastor in the world today is worth over $100 million, $150 million, last time I checked. But then we have a Muslim who is the richest man in Africa, who is worth $7.6 billion. Hallelujah. Isn't that an insult? When you say you have the keys of prosperity, Jesus has given you the keys of prosperity, but there's a Muslim who can, you know, who can buy you, buy your shares, buy shares from your company, or buy the whole company, buy everything and give you change. Isn't that a shame? Because the Bible does not connect material things to the Holy Ghost in the New Testament at all. And this will offend you because there are preachers who are already teaching it that way. So, rather than you receiving this truth, you might be thinking of, okay, he's talking about this preacher. He's talking about that. What about this preacher? Does he know? Forget all that for now and receive the word of God. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is associated with spiritual things predominantly in the New Testament. Hallelujah. In the New Testament. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. So there's an emphasis, or there's an approach and a model of preaching new Christian realities that is faulty. When it is all about this life, when the connections are all about this life, the link is about this life, how to succeed, how to blow, how to hammer, that is not new Christian realities. That's new Christian realities being used to advance human greed and desires. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. And verse 4, are you still here? Don't go home yet, or don't log off. Acts 2:4, this will do you a whole lot of good in the coming days. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when they received the Holy Ghost, they began to speak in all other tongues. Peter quotes Joel at Acts 2, 17 to 18. He also shows us the things connected to the Holy Ghost or connected with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, 17 to 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. It doesn't say they shall now begin to make money. They shall now take over because they have the spirit. No. They shall prophesy. Those are the things accompanying the spirit of God. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your old men rather shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. You see, spiritual things. Hallelujah. Acts 2:38. This is about salvation. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will be forgiven of your sins. You will receive the indwelling spirit. That's salvation. Hallelujah. That is salvation. Acts of Apostles chapter 4 and verse 8. Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. So they got a man healed, and at this point in time, the Bible says Peter was filled with the Spirit of God, and he began to teach. You find the Spirit of God in the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. Acts of Apostles 4:31. Hallelujah. Acts 4:31. After they were threatened to not preach in the name of Jesus, they reclined into their own secret place and secret chambers, and they began to pray that God would stretch forth his hand, and that, you know, God would look on their threats and grant them that with boldness they will speak the gospel, speak the word. Acts 4:31, Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see again what is associated with the Spirit of God. Preaching the gospel with boldness and audacity. Listen, guys. Anybody can achieve anything that has to do with this world. Earthly things, earthly accomplishments, innovations, whatever. They can accomplish anything without having the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. But it takes having the Spirit of God to do the works of Jesus. So it's an exclusive thing. Hallelujah. Look at this other place. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 and verse 3. Do you know why I'm not going to get into, the Holy Spirit can lead you, he lead you in your personal life, in your business, he can give you. I'm not going to get into all that, because the truth of the matter is, the New Testament is almost silent. Hallelujah. In fact, the book of Acts is totally silent on all those things. Amen. So the reason why I said the entire New Testament is almost silent is because, of course, we know Bible says we have returned to the bishop and overseer of our souls. Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, so you can be led in different areas of your life. But that is not the emphasis. Hallelujah. So when a man is always talking about the Spirit of God in connection to what you can do with it, as to, you know, in the context of succeeding in life, making money, making progress in earthly things, you know, no, that's not a preacher that is preaching the gospel the way Jesus and his apostles taught it. No way. Hallelujah. No way. So let's continue to see scriptures. The emphasis. Hallelujah. So you can be led in different areas, but that is not the emphasis of the Bible. Such that you are meant to see those things as extra. Amen. It shouldn't be all about me. I should be able to say, wow, one day as I was going to work, you know, I got a leading by spirit that, you know, they were going to say this at my workplace. They're going to do this at my workplace. And I got a word of wisdom how to undo it, you know, and then I was built by a leading of spirit. I mean, that's fine. But that must not be all I have to be talking about, testifying about. No. There's more to the Spirit of God than serving yourself. Amen. There is more. Hallelujah. There is more. And that's why when you read through the book of Acts, what you see as the act of the Holy Ghost is that God was using men to do his work. That's why the Spirit was given. So the Spirit cannot be dwelling majorly on things that are minor things, on things that are not emphasized. The Spirit is here to enable you to do the very works that Jesus has sent you to do. You shall receive power and you shall become witnesses. That should be our emphasis. Hallelujah. That should be our emphasis. That men are becoming effective witnesses to Christ. Glory to God. Because of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 and verse 3. Service to Christ. Therefore, brethren, seek among yourselves, seek out from among yourselves seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What business? Not monetary, financial or monetary business. Hallelujah. It's the business of serving the saints. It says, men full of the Holy Ghost, so they can serve as deacons. Hallelujah. You see again? Service. Acts of Apostles 6:10. Hallelujah. Acts 6:10. Glory to God. Bible says in Acts of Apostles chapter 6 verse 10 concerning Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. This is after God did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke. The wisdom that came from the Holy Ghost that they could not resist was about the gospel. Hallelujah. The message of Christ. Glory to God. The gospel. Acts of Apostles 8:29. You see the Spirit actively involved in empowering men to fulfill their ministry. This is how the Holy Ghost is taught in the New Testament. We are given the Holy Ghost to become sons of God, and then we are enabled to serve God. Hallelujah. By the same Holy Ghost. So the emphasis of me having the Spirit of God cannot be what I'm doing in the business world. It will be what I'm doing in the ministry of Christ. It will be what I'm doing in the service of Christ. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 8:29. Acts of Apostles 8:29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. The Spirit led him to go preach. Hallelujah. If all you are talking about, the leading of Spirit, is about how he led you to get one contract, how he led you to get this project done, how he led you to make this money, how he led you, and you know, it's all about monetary opportunities, financial opportunities, success in life. No. You are wrong. Hallelujah. You are wrong. You are a victim of a wrong approach to preaching new Christian realities. It is not about this life. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. We should have testimonials or testimonies of what the Holy Ghost has led you to do with the gospel. How you have become an effective witness based on the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 8:39-40. Glory to God. Bible says, now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went his way rejoicing. The Spirit of God caught him away, not for fun. Verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Spirit of God caught him away, so he could preach in other cities. Hallelujah. Isn't it awkward that a lot of people want to disappear today by the Spirit of God without a passion to preach the gospel? The Spirit caught him away for the sake of the gospel. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 10:19. Acts of Apostles 10:19. Hallelujah. Acts 10:19. Look at this. Don't miss it. Acts 10:19. While Peter thought about this vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So the Spirit of God led him to go and minister to Cornelius, to go and preach. You see the Spirit of God again, active in leading men in the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 10:38. Peter speaking concerning Jesus. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What the Holy Ghost was doing in the ministry of Jesus was to make him preach, heal the sick, cast out demons. The work of ministry. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost enabled him to do the work of ministry. And that's what the Holy Ghost is doing to us today. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing in us today, predominantly. Hallelujah. That should be our emphasis. So if I settle in a local church,
where they talk about new Christian realities without an emphasis on how these realities equip us to serve Jesus in his gospel. It is a false method of presenting the gospel. Hallelujah. We have found ourselves in a place where the gospel is being deployed for selfish reasons. Hallelujah. And you know, look around you today. You find those emphases around you. It looks like the gospel, but it is not. Hallelujah. It looks like the gospel. I mean, it talks about the gift of righteousness. It talks about the Spirit of God. But the things it connects with them are very, very wrong. Hallelujah. Let me begin to close. We're going to have a whole teaching and watch out for a book coming out, How Not to Preach the Gospel. It's a book, and we're going to have a series on it also, you know, by way of teaching like this, so that your heart can be really established to discern in these times. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost is connected with service to Christ, the new birth, service to Christ, doing the work of ministry, empowerment to do the work of ministry. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 3 refers to the Holy Ghost, refers to the ministry, rather, the ministry of the New Covenant as the ministry of the Spirit. That is what it's about. Hallelujah. Why do people have such awkward interpretation, such wrong and false presentation of the gospel? Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. Hallelujah. Philippians 3, 17 to 21. Praise God. Philippians 3, 17 to 21. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. So the apostles gave us a pattern. There's a way to walk as a minister of the gospel. It now says in verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Who are these people? Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Hallelujah. Who set their minds on earthly things? Enemies of the cross. Hallelujah. Their God is their belly. The word belly there is the word appetite. Sensuality. Appetite. They are being ruled by their appetites because they set their minds on earthly things. It says they are enemies of the cross. He says, note those who walk according to our own pattern. Don't follow others. He says, as I have warned you before, as I have told you often. So it's not too much. An emphasis when we warn people repeatedly against the doctrine of materialism and ministers who have kidnapped the gospel of Christ for material gain. It's not an overkill. Hallelujah. It's not an overkill. It's not too much talk. No. Paul says, I told you often. Hallelujah. Because as long as you live, you have ministers like that to contend with, who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is their destruction? Whose God is their belly? They are being ruled by their sensual appetites because their mind is about these earthly things. Verse 20 now says, our citizenship, listen, our citizenship is in heaven. It is not about this world. It is not about this earth. When it comes to the gospel of Christ, it is not about this earth. Our citizenship, our inheritance is of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is not about this life. So this is why people present the gospel wrongly, because they have set their minds on earthly things. Amen. The reason why he's going to always tie the Spirit of God to success in life is because his mind is on earthly things and he's being ruled by his sensual appetites. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 to 5. This is very important. 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 5. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3-5. Men always connect new Christian realities to earthly prosperity, earthly success, because their minds are set on earthly things. It's as simple as that. 1 Timothy 6, 3-5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which are caught with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Hallelujah. Men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Why does he describe them that way? He says because they suppose that godliness is a means for gain. Hallelujah. They think godliness is a means for gain. Glory to God. Now, the word gain as used here in the Greek, listen carefully. The word gain as used here in the Greek is the word that means money getting. Hallelujah. Money getting, acquiring money, material prosperity. They think godliness is a means for acquiring prosperity. They think godliness is a means for acquiring money. They think godliness is a get-rich-quick scheme. Hallelujah. That's the reason why they are going to teach otherwise. They will teach a different doctrine that is not wholesome. Amen. Consistently, this is the reason why people always connect earthly prosperity and success to new Christian realities. Amen. Now that you have the Spirit of God, there's nothing you cannot achieve. No, that's not how the apostles taught it. That's not how Jesus taught it. Amen. Hallelujah. So we must connect and link the things that Jesus and his apostles connected with new Christian realities for us to be regarded as sound ministers of the gospel. Glory to God. Sound ministers of the gospel. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Or 2 Peter chapter 2 rather. 2 Peter chapter 2. Covetousness, love of money, setting one's mind on earthly things, being ruled by his appetites, by being ruled by one's appetites and one's belly is the reason why people always connect new Christian realities with earthly success. The moment you find an emphasis of a church like this, you realize you found yourself in a den of men whose God is their belly. 2 Peter chapter 2 is all about this life for them. They can't see beyond this life. Hallelujah. It's about success. I know. So that's their emphasis in the ministry. They're only using Bible to preach it. So 2 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. That's a guarantee. There will be false teachers. It says, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Hallelujah. Now, the word secretly does not mean they sneak into the house. No, that's not the word. In the Greek, the word secretly means they would craftily bring in those heresies. Hallelujah. That's the word craftily. Amen. So they are presenting those heresies in a very crafty and clever manner. Hallelujah. And what is the driving force again? Look at verse 3. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Verse 3. Okay, that's verse 1. Verse 2. Verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Covetousness. Hallelujah. They are going to craftily present the heresies, and the heresies are as a result of covetousness. Praise God. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Of the same chapter. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things which they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse 13. They will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime, their spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you. Verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices, and our cursed children. Hallelujah. Covetousness. Verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Praise God. You see, covetousness is the driving force. Now, some did not start out to be covetous. They were also victims of such teachers. But right now, they are replicating the same impact. And they are also being driven by sensual appetites. And that's why they have an emphasis of new Christian realities for this life, for success in life, for earthly progress. It makes no sense. That's not how to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. It's all a scam. Look at verse 18. 2 Peter 18 to 19. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, verse 19, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is brought into bondage. It is, they are promising men liberty, but they are slaves of corruption. Hallelujah. It says, they speak great swelling words of emptiness, and they are lured, they seduce through the lust of the flesh those who have escaped error. They will seduce you because of the lust in your heart. Hallelujah. Great words of emptiness, making empty promises. Hallelujah. Covetousness is the reason why people advance and promote a gospel that is all about earthly success. It's about this life, what you can make from this life. Hallelujah. So covetousness is a mode of Bible interpretation. It connects with new Christian realities, the things that are of this life, earthly things. But in scriptures, the emphasis of Christ and the apostles is connecting spiritual things with spiritual things. Hallelujah. Connecting spiritual things with spiritual things. Glory to God. I thought we were going to end the series today, but time is fast spent. The reason why we close before 8 is because people settle into their place of work most times by 8, 7, 45 and all that. So it just makes sense to end the broadcast before 8. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue. We're going to have a last teaching. Praise God. I mean, it's the last one because it's in my note. It's in this note already. So it's just the last teaching. We're going to address the second thing I intended to address in this particular episode. So don't forget to tune in on Monday. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great weekend of being full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of power, full of spiritual songs, full of the Word. Hallelujah. And be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.